You want to keep the Bible in two or three places this morning. We're going to take this out of my face. And I just want to let you know that here we are on this month of March dealing with the issues of life. I started last Sunday with the word worship. And we have learned the clue of worship as Jesus told us in his spirit. It means born again. And according to the principles of God's word, the truth. Now, I want to deal today with something that I postponed to speak about for 2 months, and that is life without marriage, single people. And then, God's willing, on the coming Sunday, because it is in the pre-celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ, I want to speak on that word called Hosanna, that the people repeat 3 times as Jesus was walking into Jerusalem. It's good to see Brother Menik back in his strength, and Brother Ramil after being a foreigner in Asia. So thank you that the Lord brought you back to America. There are still 15 million bachelors in the United States, and 13 million unmarried women and girls are there. Now, I want you to know that you hear a lecture on the designer, and these designers called God is the one who speaks to us in every aspect, in every condition. God unveils every basic problem of human life and shed lights on every circumstances of life. If you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, I think it's page 1293 in the Bible in the pew. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, page 1293. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You will see the God, the designer, the ultimate object of a life, what he says. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or the breath of God, and is profitable, is good for doctrine. The word is teaching, is good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So God has provided the Bible. God has provided his word. So in every aspect, in every circumstances of life, we have light about it. So we should expect, therefore, to find it has something insightful and perspective to say to those who have never been married. And I want to speak to you today. The Bible advice to the married people was done through the Apostle Peter. And Peter was the married apostle who was used to unfold most fully the divine intent in marriage. So the words to the unmarried in the Bible are given through 2 men who were never married, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. I do not take hold of those people who said that Paul has a secret wife here and there, because the Bible doesn't say it. I only believe what the Bible says. So you can find books with the argument that the Apostle Paul was married, but the book you need to find is this one. And in this book, you need to find if he was married or not, and the Bible said no. They both, the Lord Jesus and Paul, began at the same point with an appraisal of the value of single life. I want you to know, Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul present the argument of singleness, and they began at the same point presenting the important value of the single life. and especially reassuring words to any who are inclined to view singleness of life as subnormal. Some people question, so why that person is single? Well, you're going to learn today the importance of being single. We shall hear first from Paul, which is very, very, very brief, in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So you do well, if you do with me, turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, page 1243. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The apostle here in 1 Corinthians is answering questions written to him from the Christian church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 1, the Bible says, Paul is writing, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. The church at Corinth had questions, and they wrote to the apostles, and the letter, the first letter of the apostle Paul, is an answering to those questions. Among other matters, they ask about the value and conduct of married life and certain questions as single life. Now, you know, in Corinth, there were bachelors in those days also, and certain questions had arisen concerning themselves. Is it right to be a bachelor, yes or not? So we're going to look in first the counsel of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The single life, Paul says, is as much as a gift and calling of God as is the married life. This is where he begins. He says celibacy is a divinely approved status, and there is nothing wrong with it. Look at here in 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 7. For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man has his proper gift of God. In fact, Paul thinks so highly of it that he recommended to everyone. You see that in verse 7? For I would that all men were even as myself, he said. He suggests that they might be like him, and he is indicating, by making that statement, his approval of singleness as a perfectly acceptable and proper mode of life. There is nothing wrong being single, said the Apostle Paul. Now look at verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. In other words, Paul doesn't see any problem with being single. And nothing at all. He said, concerning this, there is no problem. So the first man has given us, at least in a nutshell here, a understanding of that. Now, the one who elaborates a little more, and then we go back to 1 Corinthians 7, because Paul has a large advice for single people later on. But I want to set the principle first. The single life is not evil. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, where the Lord Jesus is going to speak about it. The Lord Jesus starts in exactly the same place in a very, very illuminating passage about Mary and single in Matthew chapter 19. The only time Jesus speaks specifically to the question of single life. You don't find Jesus speaking about single life anymore than in Matthew chapter 19. His comments also arose out of a question addressed to him, this time by the Pharisees, who came to him with a question about divorce. For the most part, their question centered on the problem whether divorce could be granted on the grounds of what we call today in law incompatibility. Is there grounds, said the Pharisees, for divorce simply because people cannot get along with each other? The Lord answered is recorded here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And who marry her which is put away, thus commit adultery. The Lord is very clear. In Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, he has previously pointed out that in the beginning, God did not envision divorce at all. Let me read it for you, Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6. And I said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave, the word cleave is the word glue, to his wife, and they twin shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not American lawyer put asunder. That American lawyer is my addition. All right. Now, they challenge that statement. Look in verse 7 and in verse 8. These scholars, the Pharisees, they challenge the statement. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said, Jesus answered that question also, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was no so. Why did Moses then allow divorce? The Bible tells us it is simply because of the hardness of the heart. Now, if you go to a regular dictionary, you find the definition of the word hardened, but I always like to go to the Bible to find definitions. So if you move your Bible to the right, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, you find how God used the word hardness. It's in page 1305. Hebrews chapter 3. And God used this word in such a way that it will be clear for us to understand it. Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 15 to 19, and you're going to see to the play of these words how God used the word harden. Now remember, Jesus said, why did Moses allow divorce? Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of the heart. What that mean, Jesus? Let's go to Hebrews 3, look at verse 15. Talking about Israel, and is given a lecture why Israel perished. And verse 15 said, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of the provocation. Now hear the word harden used again. Now look at what that means, verse 18 and verse 19. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not. So harden the heart is someone who do not believe the gospel, who do not believe Jesus. So we see, said verse 19, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so going back to Matthew 19, the Bible is saying to us that because the human heart have grown indifferent, therefore, to prevent women having to live under extreme and difficult circumstances, Moses had permitted a divorce. And the cause is they were unbelievers. They were not believers. But Jesus makes very clear, this was never the divine intention. Remember verse 5 and verse 6? He said that marriage was expected to be permanent, and that there was only one thing that could break it, and that was sexual infidelity. That is very, very clear in verse 9 in Matthew 19. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. In other words, except be for improper moral behavior, then that will be the case. Now, what amazed me about this, about marriage, what amazed me about this is verse 10 in Matthew chapter 19. When the disciples heard this, look at what they say to Jesus. Verse 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife. What did they say? Oh, how wonderful it is to be married. What they said. Look at what they said. Now, I like the Bible because the Bible speaks clearly. That doesn't hide anything. These men, look, Jovenis, he said, it is no good to be married. In other words, if such is the case, are saying the disciples, of a man with his wife, it is no expedient for me to be married. That's what they're saying. I wonder what kind of wife they have. that's what I thought. They're almost shocked by our Lord's suggestion that even though marriage may be difficult, and we all experience that, even though it may be very, very difficult to get along with one another, still the marriage is to be preserved, said the Bible. They say if this is the case, then it will be better not to marry at all. This is what the disciple says. And Jesus said, not all men, look at what he said in verse 11, not all men can receive these precepts. So when I marry somebody, and Maria Kong can tell you, and Silas, I mail a big package, all with the scripture, to let them know what is ahead. And on Monday, I meet with Maria and Silas, and eye to eye, I'm going to say, have you read it? They have to turn to me their understanding. I look on it. It's more than the exams in their medical school. And then I'm going to ask you one question. You still want to do it? I'm going to ask them the same question they have here. All right? So I don't want anybody to marry and think it is a walk in the park. No, sir. Thus, Jesus begins on the same note that the Apostle Paul sounds. Single life is a calling from God. It is given to one the gift to be single. And explain and clarify that in a minute. God has so arranged life that for most people, they grow in adulthood and marriage is the rule. And single life is the exception. And you know something? It is good that it is so. For the race would never have been propagated successfully had it been otherwise. The single was the norm. Paul and the Lord Jesus, I want you to know, is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, make it very clear that such individuals are not abnormal. They are not freaks. Single people are okay. Single people are not evil. And single people are as normal as you are. I want you to know. The Bible says so. I have read so many books, they scare you to death what they say. I'm glad we have the Bible. This is a design area of life. God did not intend it. They all should get married. Therefore, it is not a failure or a mark of defeat to remain unmarried. You are not a failure because you are single. It is rather a special calling of God that you are. Our Lord went on, look in verse 12, to indicate what factors should determine who remains single. And I'm going to read verse 12 and explain it in detail. For there are some eunuchs, and I explain in a minute what that means, which were so born from their mother's womb, that's point one, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, that's point two, second choice, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. So there are three categories of single people. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. There are three groups or three categories of single people. I'll explain it to you in a minute, and they are simple. First, he indicates that single life may be necessary because of circumstances. They are eunuchs, he says, who are so from birth. You see that in verse 12? For they are some eunuchs which were born. They are from birth. Who are so from birth, said the Lord Jesus. The word eunuch is, in its narrowest technical sense, means an emasculated male. But here it is evident that the Lord uses that word, uses it in a wider sense, including any who for any reason at all find it impossible or unwise to marry. They are those who are sexually impotent. They are those from birth. They are those who are mentally retarded. And I have dealt with those people. I have them in my office, eye to eye. They are those who are mentally retarded. And I have dealt with those. They are those who have experienced certain forms of physical disability. And I have dealt with them and consulted with other medical doctors that make marriage most unlikely or unwise. I have people under these circumstances coming to me and said, we're in love with so-and-so, and I explain my fiancé my situation, and I have to say, it's unwise to marry under these circumstances. These, the Lord Jesus said, are not to be regarded as misfit or hopeless cases. They find in a special niche in God's thinking and programming. They are not bad people. He recognized them as having a special function to perform. Now, looking again at verse 12, you find the second area are those who say were made eunuchs by man. You see it right here in verse, which were made eunuchs of men, said the scripture. This was a very common thing in the Roman times in which the Bible was written. There were those who were physically emasculated, such as Daniel, the slaves, and the priests in the temple. You were a priest in the temple, then emasculated you. But there are also other circumstances that demanded single life. For example, an accident. And then you don't have any more activity in your sexual life. Imprisonment, you're in jail. And perhaps we might group under this classification those who are simple, never asked to be married. I asked one lady, 44 years old. I said, why are you single? She said, nobody asked me to marry. And she was happy. And it's not a misfit. Please, this concept the world has brought in is not what the Bible said. It is nothing wrong to be single. Then at verse 12, at the end, said, and there be eunuchs which made themselves eunuchs. Then our Lord speaks of a third class who are not forced by circumstances to be single, but who do so wholly by choice. They choose that. As with the others, this is a perfectly proper mode of life. That now our Lord give us a word of counsel to all these groups. And at the end of verse 12, he give us a counsel. He said, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. These words are important. For they are the only words he addressed specifically to the single people in the entire Bible. These are the only words. He said, if you are able to be happy about it, be happy about it, he says. Not only does he give the basic reason for remaining single, but he says, if you fall into these classifications, then be content with it and receive it, accept it. Accept your circumstances fully. Do not fight them or resent them. Do not constantly battle against the solitary life and feel embittered. Accept it. Receive it as men receive gift from God everywhere. This is a gift of God. You are alone. Wow. Now it is interesting that Paul picks up this whole matter exactly at this point and says the same thing. And if we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we shall find that he devotes a complete section to expounding and developing this word, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, concerning the single estate. In a very helpful passage, beginning at verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 7, we have Paul advice to the simple, to the single. And I'm going to use the Revised Standard Bible for this section, which have it is just the same textual receptus manuscripts of the King James, but has a better choice of English words in certain points. Paul said this in verse 25, "Now concerning the unmarried, I have no command of the Lord," that means the Lord has not spoken to him directly, "but I give my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy." Now look at verse 26. "I think that in view of the impending distress, it is well for a person to remain as he is." Verse 27. "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek to be married." Now, two words stands out in the passage. Seek not. You saw that? Seek not. He says, do not seek or seek not. Verse 27. "Do not seek either to be free from marriage or to be married." He too is saying, accept the single estate. Stop this frantic, almost frenzied search for marriage. Do not adopt a marriage at all cost attitude. I have to get married anyway, and you make your life miserable. These words are clearly addressed to those who have passed beyond the state in which they might normally accept one to be married. Perhaps they have gone beyond their early 20s into their 30s or 40s and have already begun their life work and their process of life alone. This is evident in the context here. In the early adult years, it is never wrong for an individual to seek marriage if they are thus inclined to be married. But if the normal process of meeting a partner has passed you by, then the counsel of both the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul is this: accept these, do not fight it, put out of your mind this concept and constant desire to be married, but give yourself to what God has marked for your life at the present time. This is very impressive advice coming from such an impressive source, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul. The word of the Holy Spirit to those who are single is to stop any frenzy activity, to correct that seems to be an abnormal situation, and simply accept it. This is the will of God for your life. Accept it. Don't make any hassle about it. Paul lists certain reason for this advice. I'm going to read it from the Bible. Verse 35. Here's the reason. "I say this for your own benefit," he said, "not to lay any restraint upon you," cast any snare means restraint, "but to promote good order," and the King James said that which comes commonly, and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. To secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. What Paul is saying is this: I am not interested in simply putting you under a vow of celibacy. Paul is saying, I am not trying to make monks or nuns out of you. No. I am not interested in founding monasteries. But I am saying this for your own benefit. It will be to your advantage if you follow this counsel, that you do not seek marriage, that you do not make this the end on all of life. And that there are two very good reasons for this, and right here he say it in verse 35. First, he says, of all to promote good and order. What that means, you know, in verse 35, he said, I say unto you, your own benefit, let not lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order. That's the first advice. He seeks to prevent the distress caused by this pathetic panting after marriage on the part of those who are single. There are some individuals, unfortunately, who seem to devote their whole life to seek marriage. As a result, they cause endless confusion. It is not a week passed by that somebody will call and say, hey, do you have any girls in your church? In the phone. And what do you want to do with the girls? Is my question. So I plan to get married. Well, I never heard somebody want to get married and phone some people. So you have any girl to be married? Why do you want to marry a girl in the church? So she is good and serve me. Now you got the idea, girls, what he's looking for. See, people cause confusion when they marry and they should not. It is pathetic to see how desperately eager they are for marriage. And I handled them. When I was in radio, I handled them every day. The second reason Paul gives for this counsel is, he says, in order that I might secure your undivided, you see the end of the verse 35? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, let me make one thing immediately clear. When he speaks of devotion to the Lord, he does not mean a call to the ministry. He does not mean that. These words are not designed for ministers or missionaries only. They are for everyone who is single, no matter what his work may be. Paul is simply recognizing what the New Testament recognizes everywhere. That all life callings are to be fulfilled as unto the Lord, regardless your status. We do our task before God, whether work may be involved. He then develops two reasons for remaining single in order to give undivided attention to God. He has already mentioned one in verse 26, in view of the impending distress, where he points out a special condition that makes single life especially needful. I think that in view of the impending distress, he says, it is well for a person to remain as he is. And he enlarges that explanation in verses 29 to 31. And if you want to know, let me read it for you. Verses 29 to 31. I mean, brethren, he said, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they have none, and those who mourn as they who are not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they have no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealing with. For the form of this world has passed away, he said in verse 31. Usually troubled times are indications that opportunity is passing away. This was particularly true in Corinth, to which this letter was written. I want you to know that the conditions in Corinth were notorious. There was moral decay on every hand, just like America. It was a city given over to the worship of one thing, sex. 10,000 priestesses of the temple of Aphrodite were there. They were just for sex. And their worship was conducted through a sex service, just like Los Angeles, the Church of the Devil, does it. The whole city was given over to shallow pleasure man living. That's what I understood. Now, to live under those conditions and to live under the pressure of that city, the apostle gave the counsel to remain as you are. Nothing must hinder obedience to what God has called us to do. That is what makes life meaningful, not necessarily a matrimony. You are not fulfilling your life because you need to be married. No, you need to fulfill in your life because you do the will of God through the Holy Spirit. That's the fulfillment of your life. If business life threatens you, you cannot stop your business, but you must hold your business loosely so it does not interfere with what God has given you to do. The great values for which God has placed us here are to be seized right now. The time is passing. Life is short. The end comes suddenly and unexpectedly. So first thing must come first. Do not miss God's best by mooning over marriage. Give yourself to the task God has called you to do and serve the Lord wherever state you are, marriage or single. That's what the scripture says. There is a second factor he mentioned which demands undivided devotion. And that is that certain tasks require complete concentration. His comments are here, verse 32 and 30 to 34. Let me read it for you in 1 Corinthians 7. I want you to be free from anxieties, he says. The unmarried man is anxious about the affairs of the Lord. How to please the Lord, the unmarried, the single people. See, single people, you are single. You need to be concentrate in how to please the Lord, he said. That's what he says. But the married man is anxious about worldly affairs, how to please his wife. Do you hear, man? Men, do you hear me? The married man are married. And his worry is, how am I going to please my wife today and tomorrow better than today? You hear me? Yeah. All right. So his interest is divided, said the apostle. And the unmarried woman of Gels is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how to be holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly affairs, how to please her husband. Gels, you hear me? Had to please her husband. That's what the apostle said. He does not mean that it is wrong for married people to want to please each other. No, that's not wrong. It is perfectly proper relationship. God approve and bless it. But their time to give themselves to work is limited by the pressures and problems of marriage life. You have children, you have grandchildren, and the service of a married person is more limited than the service of a single person. That's what he is trying to communicate. Who of us that is married will deny this? You know, you plan to do something, man, and your wife have another ideas for you on your free day. That's very typical. And the Bible says that's common. He says there is a special privilege a single person have in which they can find even a higher fulfillment in their work before the Lord. Because when you are single, you do what you want and nobody controls you. They can be holy for him in whatever they do. They can put time in whatever they do. And no married person can because they have obligations in their married relationship. They can give to their work before God an intensity of concentration that no married person can give. Now I'll give you an example from our church. This morning I had to pick up a single person about 6:30 so that you can have an insert for the cantata, and then you can have extra inserts so you can pass it to people. And the job was not done, and a single person called me and said, will you pick me up? I know you come here to the church at 6:30, so will you pick me up so I can come in and do it? Now, if you're married, you cannot do that. Thank God that person knows how to use the time. There is a second factor he mentioned which demands then this importance. This all confirmed the fact that single life need not to be lonely, boring, and warning if it is committed fully and unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one further word that the apostle gave. It is apparent through all his teaching to the unmarried, both implicit and explicit, that in the will and purpose of God, this pattern of single life can be changed. Celibacy is never permanent. Let me show it to you. It's verse 36 to 38. In other words, once you are single and you are 50 or you are 60, it doesn't mean that you cannot get married. No, it doesn't mean that. Look at verse 37. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, the one that he wants to marry, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, let them marry. In other words, if you have a girlfriend, they say in America, and you go beyond, your mind is going 100 miles per hour, you better get married, said the Apostle Paul. You see it? That's what he said. It is no sin, he said. You see it? It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under sore necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So, verse 38 said, that he who marry his betrothed does well, and he who refrain from marriage do better. In other words, there's nothing wrong to get married even late in life. He makes it very clear that there is no moral wrong in marrying, even though it comes later in life. Yet, there is to be no sexual license on the part of those who remain single. That's what I get from the passage. I get the idea, yeah, you want to be single? Be single. But there is no sexual license to do whatever you want with your body, said the Apostle Paul. That is important. What a tremendous thing it is to receive this gift like Paul and to determine that in purity of heart and life and body, you will dedicate yourself to the work of God, the work that God has given to you. Will be a great value like the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, the eye made to lay hold of Christ, he said, that he may lay hold of me and I will serve him. What a mighty calling. You are single. If you are single, you can channel your life to 100% effort to please God and serve God until God tells you otherwise. May God bless you as your single life. And may you have the gift which God gave you to keep that single life in purity. That's the important part. The single life in purity. Not even a thought about sexual misbehavior. That's what the scripture teaches. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for the clarity with which the Word teaches us that our relationship to you is the supreme thing of our life. Everything else must find its focus in that, must center in that. Whether married or single, then, help us to ever keep in mind these one supreme things. We leave our lives before thee and can only find meaning and fulfillment as we do so by means of thy activity in us. O Holy Spirit, speak in us and move us whatever our state is. We thank you for this word and pray that it may be of help to those to whom is particularly addressed. Bless us with satisfaction that we are pleasing you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Exhibition of great talents in our young people. That's our hope. Our young people in the hands of the Lord, you know. It's not the profession they follow, it's the heart. And when our young people have the heart on the Lord, then our country will be different. Father, we thank you that today we learned that your Bible speaks to all of us in different aspects and in different circumstances. Your Bible is complete. We can find in what our young man talked, the designer, the instructions for our life. Thank you, Lord, that we found today that singleness of life is rather a gift from God than being under God. Lord, the single people are in the hands of the living God to use their life for your glory. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. So let's respect them and let's love them more than ever. Give them direction and strength under severe circumstances. Lord, in this country where sex is a symbol of life, give the young people the strength to keep themselves pure. Bless us now in all aspects of life, the marriage and the single, the ministry. Thank you for the care. And bless this young man who spoke to us, that he may grow and one day maybe be the president of our country. In Jesus we pray. Amen.